Hey there, Mike.
Hello, sir.
How are you today?
I'm very well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. We've got a guest on today.
We have.
And that guest is someone who actually I've been wanting to talk to you for quite a while because I really think this kid, you know, he's kind of new on the scene, but he's going places. His name is Ben Brooks, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ben Brooks. Golf club.
How we doing?
All right. We're doing great. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Wow. Thanks for coming on. I mean, I feel like I'm, you know, being visited here by certain future royalty, you know.
I don't know about that, but I'll take it.
Well, you know, I'll be able in a couple of years to say, well, you know, I knew him when he used to come on my podcast, but now he's impossible to get in touch with now. You
know, so. I hope I never get to that point. I don't want to be impossible to get in touch with.
Understood. So Mr. Brooks, you know, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and about the Brooks Review, and I don't know, where the heck did you come from? You came from, like, nowhere, from the nether regions of the pits of the earth to create this immensely popular, well-written, and, you know, verbose blog. How did this happen?
Jeez, I have no clue how it happened. I just, you know, came up with an idea to try and write a website. I've been writing blogs off and on since I started college. Maybe 2002 or so, I've been writing blogs off and on, but never really stuck with it. It'd be like a one or two post deal, and then I'd be done. I'd be bored. I'd be off doing something else. But I started the Brooks Review because I just really liked writing, and I'm always thinking about technology, always talking about it. So it kind of all fit together, started it up, and there we go. I'm out of Seattle, not out of the not out of the unknown, but you know, it's known for its rain, so maybe the rain is cloaking me for a while.
And it's coffee. It's known for its coffee.
And it's coffee.
Yes. Yes. And throwing fish. You guys like to throw fish a lot out there.
Yeah, there's only actually one place that throws fish.
Really? Just the place in the market there, huh?
Yeah, just the place you see on all the TV shows, and it's quite an amusing thing because, you know, you get these cities that are popular for certain things, and that's definitely one of the calling cards of Seattle, and so you'll go down there on a weekend, and there'll be a ton of tourists down there, and they'll all be standing around the one stand that throws the fish. Well, the thing is, they don't just throw the fish for fun. They only throw them if someone buys a fish.
Right.
So you'll have like 60 people waiting for someone to buy a fish.
I work for a pretty large company, and they've made me watch the fish DVD about four times and read the book, and yeah, big companies love that fish story.
Why? Like, I mean, it's a brilliant sales move, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole reason to buy the fish shit there, and I've been to the market, and I've actually perused the market, you know, several times, and I've noticed that the fish there is actually more expensive than the fish anywhere else in that market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's higher priced, right? And, like, you know, you could go find a bargain anywhere. You're paying the extra for the fish being thrown. Right?
Absolutely.
They completely made a business out of the throwing of the fish. I mean, that's just terrific. So so besides the, you know, besides the blog that everybody who even is remotely interested in Apple stuff should be following, and just tech stuff in general, and it's just, you know, it's good writing, it's opinionated. I think, Ben, you would not argue with the fact that sometimes you find yourself on the other side, on the opposing side of an issue that other people seem universally agreed to.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, that you know, you're not one of these, you know, kind of rah-rah fanboys who just kind of goes along with the crowd and, you know, and says what everyone else is saying and just kind of regurgitates the same information that you you think about this stuff, and sometimes you come with a completely different opinion that is directly opposed, and that's a good thing. We need that kind of healthy debate and healthy discourse. So besides that, you also do, a little podcast that not a few people know about yet, probably. So we should probably... you do the B&B podcast with Mr. Sean Blanc, who we've also
had before.
Yeah. How's that going for you? How do you like this whole podcasting thing?
I like it. It's nice to get to have instant feedback for a change. So often when you're writing, you post something up there, and then you don't know what people are thinking about it. The feedback's delayed from when you post it to when people start reading it and responding. So it's nice to be able to just chat with Sean and kind of get his immediate feedback on things that I'm thinking about and he's thinking about. So it's fun.
But you can't correct things quick enough. That's what I hate about podcasting, is I'll say something and realize how stupid it sounded. And then I can't do anything about it because it's done now.
Yeah, that's always the danger, isn't it?
Yeah,
think before you talk.
Well, and especially when you're doing it with somebody else, if it was just me talking into this mic, I would be able to kind of go back and re-record things and polish it. But pretty much once I hand that audio file over to Mike, it's done. There's nothing much we can do about it. And when you're doing it with someone else, even if there was something you could do about it, you'd have to reschedule and match up your times and kind of go through the whole process again. And that's that can be a pain. And so
that's more work than I'm willing to do.
Well, yeah, I think it's more work than, I think is even worth doing in a lot of cases, So yeah, the podcast, especially when you're doing it with someone else, is kind of it's a lot more immediate. There's little to no editing, as it were.
Right.
So one of the main reasons I wanted to have you on today is starting with an episode that went up last week, the one with Mr. Brett Kelly. I started this little thing that I come from the premise of if we've got a guest, I say, okay, you're getting a brand new MacBook Air 11-inch, 64 gig, bottom of the line machine, and this is going to be your main machine. You're not going to have anything else really to rely on. This is what you're going to kind of be using day in and day out. What would be enough for you? Because that's how I work. That's how I live. I've got my, everyone knows I got my 64 gig Air, and I'm basically doing that. And, everyone's needs are different. So, but it's entirely doable. I know you've been writing about this on your site. You've kind of written a couple of pieces surrounding this theme, which I'll link to in the show notes. But tell me, Mr. Brooks, there's the scenario. What's enough for you? What do you need?
What I really need is just basic photo editing and a text editor, and pretty much good to go from there. Web browser, obviously. Uh-huh. And I can get by with that. Dropbox would be essential. I think that would be the one thing that you absolutely have to have.
Yeah,
for all that stuff, for photo editing, if it's actual pictures that I've taken, I'm a big Lightroom fan. I find Aperture is just like a beast of a program to try and run on anything.
Gotcha.
I use Acorn if it's just making my own graphics and stuff like that for websites.
Yeah. So question.
Yes.
Lightroom. You've got 64 gigs. You're going to put Lightroom on that puppy, and all the photos that you probably take in RAW, or am I going to have to give you an external drive to go along with this Air?
Yeah, you either need to do an external drive, or you can just store them all online and edit locally. And I've done that. I've used Amazon S3 to back up a bunch of my photos and stuff.
Okay. Now we're getting into some interesting biznatch. All right. So, with Lightroom, so basically you're going to store all this stuff in the cloud, and then when you need to edit it, so basically, can you sync it directly to the cloud? Like maybe like with a use some sort of utility. What's the really expand drive? That's the one that like a lot of people use, or Jungle Disk, or one of those. Are you going to use something like that to mount the drive and then sync those photos directly off camera to said cloud drive, as it were?
I'd only do that if I really wanted to bang my head against the wall most of the day. That's S3 is unfortunately, for as good as it is, it's not fast enough to do that kind of work. The whatever they call it, like the get request and the put request that it has to do back and forth, it's slow. So no, it would just be, you know, you'd have to pull it down your data and then edit it locally. The best scenario would be to get an external drive and plug it in for your media, for that kind of stuff. But you know, it's definitely possible to do off S3. Right now, I just mainly use it for backups, and I don't even save the raw images. Once I get done editing, I'll export to a full resolution JPEG and then throw that on S3, and all the raw gets backed up onto external hard drives for save money, okay, speed, time, all that good stuff.
All right. Okay. Text editor? You using text edit, or are you going to throw something else on that and use up some of that 64 gigs? Oh, and also, wait, let me back up. Before you answer that question, are you going to take it out of the box and use the default, you know, kind of standard Mac OS X install with iLife already installed and the languages and all that stuff? Are you going to reformat that puppy and ditch the iLife and try to save some space that way, especially since you're going to be using Lightroom for your photo editing?
Yeah, I'll definitely ditch some of the iLife apps, and I'll ditch the languages too that you don't need, and some of the I don't remember, are they still coming with a bunch of printers pre-installed, or are they just doing the download now?
Yeah, no, they it's coming with some printers pre-installed.
Yeah, so I'll dump those too.
Yeah, because I mean it'll download whatever you need,
right? And they're usually out of date to begin with, so
right, exactly. And you know, most of the printers that you're going to get are not going to be the ones that are, you know, that are included by default, because you know you're probably going to get something decent,
right?
So I mean, because that's going to buy you a lot of space if you ditch all that stuff. That's kind of what I did. I mean, I took it out of the box, and literally, like, the first thing I went for was that little thumb drive and wiped it and did a fresh, clean install and deselected, you know. What's interesting, when you get the little tiny thumb drive, iLife is actually a separate install. So,
oh, okay.
It's actually on there separately. So, I mean, it's almost like Apple kind of thought ahead and said, yeah, some people are going to want to not install iLife on here, and so therefore it's not like you deselect it in the installer. You can run the base restore and, you know, deselect the printers and the language packs and stuff like that. But then you can but then when you start back up, you still don't have iLife. iLife is a separate install, unlike other system restore disks that come with like the iMac or the, you know, MacBooks or whatever, where iLife is actually part of the system install. But I digress. Okay, so now we're back to text editors. Are you going to use text edit?
No, I'm not a big text edit fan. I'm a TextMate guy, so I got to get that installed.
Yeah, you're one of those jokers.
What about for the podcast, Ben? What would you use for that?
Oh, I'd make Sean do it.
Well, I mean, you know, you guys are double end recording like we do, using QuickTime, right?
Sean uses QuickTime. I use Sound Studio Pro on my end.
Okay.
But that's just because I mix everything together in Sound Studio, so.
Oh, I got you. So you're the one doing all the work, huh?
Yeah.
For the podcast.
Yeah. I'm the one with the slowest machine out of the two of us, and I do all the work, so.
How'd you work out with that sweetheart deal?
I don't remember.
Sean's got all the time in the world. All he's doing is half-heartedly writing for his blog all day and
sitting on a beach in Hawaii.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
drinking out of pineapples.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't get done if I didn't do it then.
So TextMate, and one day they might actually they might actually come out with TextMate 2, and then you'll be really happy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't really care. TextMate 1.5 works perfectly fine for me.
Wow. Really? You're one of those people.
I have no desire for TextMate 2. I've never seen it. It's not like I'm yearning for anything. I'm overwhelmed to begin with. So,
Ben, you know that's what we believe in here, right?
Yeah.
You realize that? Okay. Good. Good. You're a good man. All right. So let's see. You talked about your photo editing. You got that squared. And you know, so you're going to do some Lightroom and maybe possibly some Acorn, or for sure some Acorn.
Oh, I'd for sure need Acorn.
Okay, all right, okay.
Are you a Safari guy?
Yeah, yeah. Yes, what are we using for browsers?
I am a Safari guy. Actually, right now, I use the nightly builds, the WebKit nightly builds, but I'd switch to just using regular Safari. It's not that much of an advantage. So.
You're a man who lives on the edge.
Yes.
Yeah.
You just wanted a gold icon instead of a blue one.
No, I hate the gold icon. Oh, the gold just looks terrible. But no, it's slightly faster right now. It's slightly faster, so...
Yeah, they did do some tweaking. Didn't they incorporate some of the stuff Chrome has? Because Chrome uses WebKit and contributes back into the code as well.
Yeah.
Right.
And so one of the more recent nightly builds include a lot of that Chrome stuff that had been that Google had been tweaking and finally checked back into the source? I think they did or something.
I think so. It's definitely, I mean, it's a night and day difference, so it's not quite up to the speed of Chrome. But I think, I think Lion's version of Safari is actually much faster than any of them right now. So,
not that you would ever want to say anything like that.
No, that's just what I read on other blogs.
Yeah.
Oh, you're giving me a lot of geeky things to link to here. The show notes for this are going to be like a Mac nerd's kind of dream.
Pandora's box.
There we go.
About the only thing we're missing here is if you would have said that your text editor of choice was like VI. In which case,
I can't do it. I haven't learned that yet.
Yeah, yeah. Brett. That's what Brett's using. He's like, oh, I need Mac Vim. I'm like, oh, man.
I didn't even understand what he was talking about.
Yeah, I had to, like, explain what Vim was.
He's really using Mac Vim, huh? I'm not a fan of Mac Vim. There's a new one that came out with the VI key bindings. I can't remember what it's called, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll find it, and I'll link to it in the show notes. I can't remember it either. It's not even, like, in beta yet. It's kind of an alpha.
No, it's an alpha build. It's pretty rough.
Yeah.
Oh, Ben, you forgot something really important.
What's that?
Keyboard Maestro.
Yeah, I need that for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We got to talk about all the utilities. You need Keyboard Maestro, right?
Yep, and Launch Bar.
Yeah, Launch Bar. You need Dropbox, I'm assuming.
Yep. Can't work without that.
By the way, do you have like so much stuff in your Dropbox that might actually take up the remainder of your 64 gigs? Or
No,
problem
not
with
at
Dropbox,
all.
Right? Okay, all right.
I don't keep that much in Dropbox because I archive stuff up. I actually use iDisk for my archive of files and stuff. So once it gets old enough in Dropbox, I just fire up like Transmit and throw it into iDisk, and it seems like a good use for that space I'm paying for.
The person that they built the data center for?
Yeah, probably.
It's just for Ben.
Just for Ben and his photos and his Dropbox.
Yeah.
So, question for you then. You mentioned Transmit.
Yes.
That's another thing. You would need Transmit then in that case, right? I mean, you wouldn't need it, but it'd be a nice to have sort of thing, right?
Yeah, it'd be a very, very nice thing to have.
So Transmit.
I hope you're adding all this up to tell me how much space I have left.
No,
minus
I'm not.
4 gigs.
I'm actually not. I mean, I think that you're, you know, if I were to pick out any one of those things for you know biggest space concern would be Lightroom. But you know, once again, if you're mainly kind of storing that stuff on storing the data, i.e. the photos, on
like an external drive or something like that, you could probably get away just fine with that, especially if you're ditching iLife, you know. I mean, because, you know, I mean, let's just put it out there. Lightroom is not the same size as, say, GarageBand, right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know? And so, so yeah, I mean, I think you'd be doing pretty well.
Yeah, my working Lightroom library that's local on my machine right now is only 3.8 gigabytes, so then add in another couple hundred megs for the app itself.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right. So are we there? Are we at enough for you yet?
I mean, let me think here. Let me see what else I got here.
Angry Birds?
No, I don't have that on my Mac.
Yeah, you can put that on your iPad.
I need one password. You can't get around without one password these days.
Yeah, this is true.
What about a Twitter client? Would you be happy to use the web, or would you need
Oh, no, I would need the Twitter app. Otherwise, I just wouldn't use it. The website's terrible.
Yeah, I actually, for a while after getting my 64 gig, I resisted.
So you do have it installed now?
Yeah, I do now. But it was a good month I went without it, and you're right. I mean, the website is, you know, it's usable for, you know, getting a tweet, you know, reading kind of the last, you know, last half hour to an hour that you may have missed. But yeah, it's just not. Is not a long-term workable solution for those of us who really use it and really want to get the most out of it.
Right.
I'm sorry to say. I wish that wasn't the truth. And I'll tell you, when you want to know what really stopped me from using Twitter for Mac, formerly Tweety, in its new version after it was released, it was the font size is terribly small, and you're unable to change it. And, you know, I'm not a, you know, a young, you know, 23-year-old like you, Ben. I'm an old guy. You know.
Well, yeah, the MacBook, you know, Air screen.
I'm getting gray chest hair, you know, so that should tell you how old I am. What?
The MacBook Air resolution is pretty tight too, so it makes those fonts show up pretty small, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, even smaller. I mean, I was almost like had to go out and get cheaters to read Twitter for Mac. It's really bad. I mean, seriously, I'm looking at it here. It's about a 9-point font on an 11-inch Air.
Wow. That would just be happy with one tweet at a time filling up the screen.
Yeah,
that would do quite nicely.
Wait, there's an app for that.
There is.
Yeah, well, not on the Mac, unfortunately. But a lot of times, that's how I kind of keep an eye on my stream, is I've got Trickle running on my iPad. And Trickle does that. It shows, you know, full screen on your iPad each tweet as it rolls in. And you can certainly, you know, scroll back through what you've missed or whatever, but a lot of times I'll keep that just off to the side, you know, as a dashboard, you know, just to kind of glance over and see what's going on without removing my focus away for what's in front of me on my Mac, or, you know, having to, you know, command tab away from it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Especially because, and I've talked about this before, I run my Mac in single app mode. So I only ever look at one application at a time on my Mac.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
He's forcing himself a lion.
Well, no, I've done that. I've done that since Mac OS 9. I've done that with every single Mac I've had since the clamshell blueberry clamshell iBook I bought way back when. And so, yeah, that's you know, that's how I roll. Especially because I've always been attracted to smaller computers. Like, for a while, I had a PowerBook 2400.
Okay.
And ran things that way. So, yeah, it's you know, when you're dealing with a small screen, I don't know. I'm not one of those people who needs to have several apps up in front of me all the time. So. In any case, all right. Well, I'm gonna let you go, Ben, because I know you got things to do and places to be. But I really, really want to thank you for for being on today with us. It's been a real honor and a pleasure.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And, yeah, it's been great having you on, buddy. We're going to have you on again and keep you for like 4 hours and record 8 episodes.
Yes,
sounds
sure.
Good.
The Brooks Review, what's the actual URL for that, my friend?
It's brooksreview.net.
And the B&B podcast is what you want to look for on the iTunes store for his and Sean's podcast. And I'll have links to all that stuff in the show notes at minimummac.com/enough. So thank you very much, Ben. I appreciate it. Take care. And Mike, thank you as always.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers.